All right. God's grace is amazing. Would you agree? God's grace is amazing. Would you agree? All right. You guys are awake. You're here this morning. Isn't it a beautiful day outside? Now, come on. I mean, I love it. For me, you know, when the sun is shining and it's warm, it just feels good. And, you know, just the warmth of the sun, it just gives you a certain feeling. But when it's raining like this, for me, it's really awesome because it's kind of like God's washing all the dirt away. He's kind of cleaning things up, and it really smells nice out. You go outside, and, you know, all the dirt in the air, and I love days like this. Whether it's sunny or raining, it's beautiful outside, and it's a good way to start our new year. We're off to a good start. I don't know about you, but I just kind of laid around and watched the Rose Parade. Anybody else? All right, am I becoming too old just watching the Rose Parade? Yeah. So we just kind of watched the Rose Parade, had a great time on New Year's Day, and still haven't recuperated from my trip. But we began this series last week called The Church is a Mess, The Messy Church. And really what I wanted us to think about and what I wanted us to talk about is the reality that when the world looks at the church today, they got an image that we kind of created ourselves, that we're supposed to be Christ-like, and the problem is we're not always like Christ. That though we strive and we struggle to be like Christ, we don't measure up. And the world sees that because we've kind of put a mask on. We kind of put this, well, I've got things together and you don't have things together, and I got all the answers and you don't know all the answers, and if you had God like I had God, and we create this image. But then they walk into the church or they walk into our home and they see messy people. They see us with our sin, and they see us with those decisions, and they see us struggle with life. And so they say, well, why, you guys are just like everybody else. And so I began this series with us with the idea, and I kind of started out. I wanted us, you know, I think what the world wants to hear from us today is that, you know, we need to admit we're messy. That even as Christians, even as men and women of God, that we still mess up. And we need to be real, and we need to be authentic about it, and we need to be transparent about it, and we need to let the world see us with those struggles and with those battles. It's one of the things I've always felt good about being the pastor here is the church has really let me be me. You know, this is who I am, whether I'm up here or I'm driving down the road. You guys, you see me. Some of the kids know how I drive, and they know all those issues and the battles, and we need to see that. And so, you know, the Bible's just full of individuals like that. We watched a video clip last week, and you got to see Moses, and, you know, it's like, well, my wife's my sister, and he's just kind of lying about that. Or Peter denying Jesus, or David arranging the murder of the lady's husband who he committed adultery with. You know, and we see all these people and their messy lives. And so what I did is I took one of those messy individuals. I took the guy named Jonah. A very familiar story. Most of us had heard the story of Jonah swallowed by the giant fish. You notice I'm not saying whale. He's swallowed by a giant fish and all of that. And I shared with you, I want to tell you, that's a real story. It really happened. I've never seen a fish that big, but if God said there was one, there was one, all right? And so we looked at Jonah last week and how Jonah had to face the fact. Here's a man of God. He had served God. God came with him with a second task to do, with another job to do, and he decided he didn't want to do it. A man of God saying, God, no. And so we looked at that last week and had Jonah kind of facing the fact. And this morning, I kind of want to take that story and look at it from a different perspective, from the perspective of Nineveh, from the perspective of the city that Jonah was sent to. So if you get your outline out, I want you to just kind of follow along, because the people in Nineveh were messed up people. All right? So if you open the book of Jonah, you read that first chapter, read chapter 1, it's verse 1, chapter 1, it says, Jonah, I'm calling you to go. And then verse 2, look at verse 2, it's here on the screen, it's here on your outline. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. God comes to Jonah and says, listen, go to Nineveh and preach. There's a bunch of evil people there. Now, we know what Jonah says. Jonah says, no, he runs the other way. Nineveh was a great city, it says here. Probably 120 to 175,000 people living there. To give you an idea how big it was, that Modesto only has 200,000 people. So it's about two-thirds the size to almost three-quarters the size of Modesto. It's no small city. It's a large city. The wall around the city went for 8 miles around that city. It was a rather large city. And he's saying, go there. There's evil in that city. Go there and preach against the evil in that city. There's probably adulterers in that city, thieves, liars. I mean, it's probably a city like any city we see today. And he says, it's an evil city that needs to hear the message of God. And so he's sending Jonah there. And you know, Jonah doesn't go. Jonah didn't want to go. And so I want to kind of, as I start this, I want to kind of begin with the idea, and I want you to kind of go with me with this idea. Is there a place you don't want to go? You know, is there, you know, like I said, when Laura and I took this last trip, we drove through Texas. And I can kind of see why when Laura says, when she married me and our pastor talked to us, that would she go anywhere Gary went? Laura, go anywhere Gary goes, but I won't go to Texas. And, you know, is there any place that you say, I just won't go? How many here, you know, going to go work and I'm going to go serve in San Francisco? I'm going to go work and I'm going to go live in New Orleans. You know, I'm going to go work and I'm going to go live in, you know, let's go overseas to some Singapore and Hong Kong and, you know, or what? I don't know what evil city's out. Is there a place that you just say, I don't want to go? You'd be like Noah. I mean, like Jonah. I'm not going. Go the other way. But God comes to Jonah, and you know, he didn't go. He got swallowed by the well. He was vomited up. I love that last week when I was sharing with you. I had never thought about it, but when he was vomited up, he didn't come out clean, all right? He came out in vomit. He came out dirty. You know, we're messed up. We're messed up people. And he came out as a messed up individual. But God gave him a second chance. Look at this next scripture. God gives him a second chance. Look what God says again. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message I'm going to give you. He's saying, go and preach to Nineveh. He's given him a second chance. I messed up. I make messed up decisions. I do things wrong. I'm not a perfect individual, but God still wants to use me. That's what he's telling Jonah, and that's what he tells us. Go to Nineveh. But it's real interesting. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches. If you follow the story along, it's a real short book. You can read it. It's like, I think, five chapters. It's really a short book, you know, and most of it happens real quick in the first four chapters. And you go through it, and he goes there, and he is successful. He goes there with the message from God. He goes there and says, listen, God's going to bring judgment if you continue to sin. If you continue down the path you're going on, if you continue down the ways you are going, God is going to judge you. God will punish sin. He still does. And he's out there preaching this. And what's amazing is, now you need to understand, these aren't Jewish believers. These aren't people who were from Jerusalem, who had heard about God all their lives. These are people who, from Assyria. And Jonah's saying, listen, the one and true God is saying, if you don't get your life straight, I'm going to come and judge you. And Jonah didn't want to be there, so I'm sure he's probably sarcastically preaching this. And he's sharing this message with them. And what's interesting is the people believe. It starts with the king. Look at the passage. The king begins to believe. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He believed. He changed his life. We would call this today repentance. We'd call this rededication. We would call this crossing the line of salvation. We'd have all sorts of names. But it started at the top. Jonah preached, and the people believed. The people changed their lives. When he's talking about sitting in sackcloth, he's repenting. I was wrong. I've messed up. I'm a messy person. And he's repenting and he's turning his life. And the king leads a revival in Nineveh. The king brings this revival to that community there. And the people begin to follow, and the people begin to follow that king, and they make a decision. Now, Jonah, as a man of God, you're successful. What do you think Jonah would probably do? Wouldn't it be a time of celebration? A time to feel good? Time to be happy, a time to rejoice. I'm called here to preach. I'm preaching, and the people changed their heart. Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of this. Thank you, God, for using me to bring Nineveh back into line. Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of a revival that you are doing. Wouldn't that be the normal thing to do? But Jonah, now you got to go back. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah ran. So Jonah gets upset that people are believing God. Jonah gets mad because people heard his message. Jonah gets disgusted that the people believe. Look at what it says. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Jonah got mad at God because he saved people he didn't like. Think about that. Jonah got ticked off, upset, disappointed, aggravated with God because God saved people he didn't like. Now, I'm going to beat up on this morning, and this is where the whole message is going to go this morning. Are there people that you don't want to see saved? Are there people you don't want to see come to God? Now, maybe you don't say that, but do your actions? I mean, we got a hurting world and a dying world. Do we want to see people make a decision? Do you got neighbors and friends? Do you got aunts and uncles? Do you got family? Do you have, you know, is there somebody that's made you angry? Is there a text message you got from somebody that offended you and hurt you that you just don't want to talk to that person anymore and you'd just be certain that they went to hell as anywhere else? Is there some unforgiveness? Jonah didn't want to see these people saved. He was upset when God saved people. Grace was good for me, but grace isn't good enough for... So God comes back to Jonah. You know, you can read, I'm going to encourage you to read it. God sends a plant and does all sorts of things to teach Jonah a lesson. Like Jonah, look, Jonah had a hard head. Being swallowed by fish wasn't good enough. You know, and so God continues to teach Jonah. And I'm going to preach more on this next week and kind of go a little bit more into that part of the story. But I want you to see this next verse because this verse really sets the context. Look at what it says here. I want to say this. Go ahead and go back. But it displeased Jonah. Let's go here. Here I want to say this. Our world is messed up. Let me kind of step right in here. Our world's messed up. We lived in a messed up world. Anybody debate that? You know, it's like, do I really need to point that out? Do I really need to say, you know what? Our world is screwed up. Starting at the top all the way down to us today. I mean, you know, we can talk about the president, but you're going to talk about him, you got to talk about me. I mean, we're all... messed up. We live in a messed up world. I got the newspaper out when I was working on the message on Thursday. I got the newspaper out or the internet. I was looking on the internet. It's only the 3rd of January. And Modesto already had its first murder. And it's only the 3rd of January. There's a missing woman in Modesto already. And it's only the 3rd of January. I heard last night we were talking. There's somebody in Escalon. I heard yesterday on the news. I think it was yesterday on the news that there's a dead body found in Escalon. Just reading over the newspaper, there was... On January the 3rd, there had already been 5 murders in Chicago. Would we say our world is messed up? We got this fiscal cliff. Anybody know this fiscal cliff that we were, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, we're going to run off. And they can't even get an agreement on that. And, you know, they finally get something going on that. And yet we're still in the midst of a recession and unemployment's sky high. And, you know, our world's messed up. And that's just talking about the big things. You know, that's just talking about the things that make the newspaper. You don't see too much gossip in the newspaper. You know, so-and-so is gossiping now. I'll tell you something fun. Go get the papers from the 30s and 40s in small towns. I went back to Oklahoma where my dad was raised, and I got in some of the newspapers. And it tells you everything going on in town. Oh, so-and-so went to church today, or so-and-so had dinner at their house. And it's in the newspaper, you know. And it's like, well, there's nothing else going on in town, I guess, you know. But, you know, but it doesn't, you know, that news doesn't talk about those little things anymore, you know, that anger that somebody did, that road rage, that adultery. You know, the newspaper covers the big stories, murder and all that, and thieves. But it doesn't get to that liar. You know, we live in a messed up world. Even though we live in America, we live in a great country. We live in America, really a blessed country. I found this passage. Look what this passage says. I thought this was a great passage. Even when our ancestors... were living in their kingdom, enjoying all the good things you had given them, enjoying the land that was fertile and full of room, they did not stop their evil ways. To me, as I read that, I thought about America. Anybody? We're blessed in America. room, produce, I mean everything in America. You can have anything and everything you want here in America. You can live and go and move. You can do anything. And yet, evil still abounds in America. We live in a messed up world. But I want to ask you this. Does God still care? I mean, God looked at Nineveh. God cared about Nineveh. Does God still care? Or is God maybe, is it Noah's time again? I mean, it's raining out there. Is it Noah's time again that, you know, I'm done. I've had it. I'm finished. I've done all I can. Yeah, I gave him a promise I'm not going to flood it anymore. I gave him a rainbow to prove it, but I'm done. I've had it. I'm full up to here. You know, is God done with us? Is God done with the world? Is God finished? I've had it. They're all messed up. They're not changing. I've blessed them. They got fertile land. They got possessions. They got homes. They got cars. They got kids. They got family. They are blessed, and they're still not listening. Is God done? Is God said, I'm done. I've had it. It's over. No. God still cares. See, and I think if God still cares, what does that mean? If you look at your outline, I put it this way. God loves a messed up world. God still loves this messed up world. He still cares about the messed up world. He cares about that neighbor who aggravates you. You know, that person that sent you that horrible text message or that Facebook picture or that bullying that goes on, or, you know, that guy that cheated you out of money, or, you know, that gossip that so-and-so did, or that liar over there, or that boss that... God still loves this messed up world, because if he didn't, he would come back. It says the only reason he waits is that he doesn't want anybody to perish. See, so here's what I'm wrestling with, and here's what I want us to wrestle with this morning. Do we care enough about the lost world like God does? Do we care enough about the lost world like God does? That God cares for those outside, for those who are still messing up. Well, wait a minute. I'm still messing up. See, do we see that? Do we understand that? Look at this passage right here. That God shows his great love for us in this. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. I want you to circle a word there. Not one of the big words, just a little bitty word. I want you to circle the word while. While. God died for us while we were still sinners. Let me give you a little hint here. I was never a really bad guy, all right? You know, I wasn't one of the partiers. I wasn't into the drug scene. I wasn't into those kinds of things. But you know what? I was still a sinner. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I still had sin. I still did things. I had a good vocabulary of the wrong words. Anybody? You know, I knew how to use them well. You know, I could string them together really well. And my attitude, and I can just go down the line. While I was a sinner, while I was messed up, God died for me. Why is it that when we look at other people out there, we don't give them the same grace God gave us? That we want them to change. We want them to be different. We don't want to have anything to do with them. I mean, are we like Jonah? You know, are we like Jonah? Look at what the scripture says here about Jonah. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? He's saying, shouldn't I care about those who are messed up like I cared about you? God loved me when I was messed up. Do you feel God loves those out there even though they're messed up? Even though they're still living that sinful life, even though, you know, well, gay, same-sex marriage. I mean, I'm sitting here and, you know, Washington, the state of Washington, legalized same-sex marriage and marijuana. Colorado legalized marriage. I mean, does God still love Washington, the state? Come on, I mean, think about that. They legalized marijuana and same-sex marriage. God can't love that. While they were still sinners. And what's amazing, here's the thing we forget. You know, while I was a sinner, Jesus died for me. I am a Christian. While I'm a sinner, Jesus lives in me. That's scary. Because I want Jesus to live out of me. I want to be Christ-like, but I'm not always Christ-like. Like I said, somebody gave me a little emblem to put on my car, you know, because you guys know my battle there. That's my battleground. That is a battleground that Satan works on me all the time. And I'm going to put it on my, I decide I'm going to put that symbol on my car, all right? And I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going to put it on my car. But what I'm going to do, you know, I got a hatchback car. So I'm going to open the hatchback up, and I'm going to stick it underneath. All right, so I'll have one on my car one of these days. I got to pull it out, but I'm going to put it underneath so I can close the back. And it's there on the back of my car. You just can't see it. So that's what I decide, you know, that way. Do we battle like this? I'm still a sinner. And do we have that grace for them? Let me put it this way. I was reading a great book, and Ed Setzer, some of us got to hear Ed Setzer speak at a conference once. And I like the way he wrote this, because this kind of sets the stage of how we do it. Because here's our problem. Here's these three words. I want you to kind of fill this thing in here. See, we have a problem. We want people to behave. I'm sure Jonah was saying, you know, if they behave, I'll go preach to them. When they start acting right, when they act right, when they start doing right, I'll go talk to them. When they behave, then after you behave, you believe. And then after you believe, then you can belong. And that's kind of how the church has acted. You know, come, be a part, but start behaving before you walk through those doors. You got to change your life. The problem is, if it was me, I didn't change my life till after I walked through the doors of a church. Anybody in that boat? Yeah, God was working on me when I was out there, but I wasn't listening very well. It was after I crossed, after I moved into the church, after I started hearing the message. But see, I think this is why the church is struggling so hard today, and the image the church has, and why they can say, well, they love God, but they're not sure about the church, or they love Jesus, but they're not sure about the church. Because we seem to have this model that you got to start behaving and leave that lifestyle behind you and don't do this and don't do that, and then you can come in and be a part. But God has it this way. God says, come and belong. Come and belong. He's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he finds some guys mending their fishing net. And what does he say? Start behaving right, then you can join me. He said, come follow me and be fishers of men. He's walking down the road, and there's a guy sitting at a tax table, the worst job you can have. He's a traitor to his people. And he says, follow me, to Matthew, a despised individual. And Matthew throws a big old party. See, we need to belong. And as people belong, then they can hear the message and believe. Begin to believe, and then after they believe, they can become who God wants them to be. And it was a great book to read and to just to get a different picture. And I really believe, and the reason I'm preaching this message, and the reason that I'm talking about this now is we're going to have our church building really soon. It's coming along great. I'm not going to give you a date yet. I got some that are flowing dates around, and I feel real good about it, but I'm not going to say it yet. But you know what? It's not going to do any good if we have that building and the image of the church is still the same. We've got to change it. It's not the building going to change. It's going to be you and I that change it. And I wanted us, and the reason I'm doing this series of messages now is I want us to admit, you know what? I'm messed up. I am a messed up individual. If you hang around me long enough, you'll see it. And some of you have seen too much of it. But the reality is, I'm going to be really nice. You're messed up too. And our world's messed up. But we need to be gracious to them as God was as gracious to us. while I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. While they're still sinning, lying, cheating, stealing, texting, Facebooking, all that trash out there. I'm not talking about the big ones, murder and all of that. I'm talking about the ones that we do. Unforgiveness, anger, envy, greed. Anybody have any of those battles? You know? I'm talking about those kind of things. While they were sinning, Jesus died for them. Do we care? Do you care about that neighbor? Do you care about that family member? Do you care? See, Jonah ran. Jonah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be there. Well, when they behave, when they act right, when they do right, when they change. See, I want to challenge us to reach out. Now, I'm not saying what we have to do is just everybody come in, doesn't matter what you did, come on in and just forget it. We need to create an atmosphere where people are welcome in their imperfections and their messed up lives. We need to create a safe place where we can be messed up. You know, I'm going to get into this next week, and I'll throw one of the verses out you'll probably see next week where it says, confess your sins to one another. I think what it's saying is just be real. You know, I'm not saying you got to tell everybody all your sin. You know, you don't have to even tell the preacher. But we need to admit the fact that, you know what, we're not perfect. But then we need to have a burden for our imperfect world. Do we care? Do we care about those who are dying without Jesus Christ? Do we care about those? I'm going to say, do we care about those who are going to hell? Because there's only two places. You need to understand, there's only two places. There's heaven and hell, and there's no more. Do we really care? I've got burdens in my life for friends. I got burdens in my life for family that I pray for. I walk around this building this morning. I walked around seven times. I don't know the biblical things, you know. I walk around the building seven times. I'm praying for many of you, all of you, matter of fact, for my family, for my extended family, for neighbors and friends. Do we care about this lost world? Or is it just kind of like we've washed our hands? They're evil. You know, well, I'm going to be spiritual. I can't have anything to do. The Bible says avoid those. But the Bible also says this. Look at what it says here. This is Matthew's party. He has, and the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Do we see a hurting, dying world? Are we afraid that, you know what, if I get near them, it's going to rub off on me? It's going to affect me. See, they grumbled. They complained. See, I want to challenge us as our church, and we're going to finish our building. I want everybody in Slida to be welcome. You know, we sat back, and you need to know one of my goals was with this series of sermons, I wanted to preach a message on same-sex marriage. I've done everything I could. I just haven't got my hands around that topic yet. You know, I that was going to be my message after this series here. I was going to do that, but I haven't. I'm going to be preaching a message on same-sex marriage. I mean, can gays come to church? You know what? Somebody asked me one time when AIDS first came out that they had a family member that had AIDS. Would I come by and pray with them? What do you think I told them? I'm not going to. I might get that. I said, just invite me over. Then I went and knocked on the door. I didn't even take the invitation. I didn't wait. See, how do we deal with these things? I'm not saying we got to accept all these lifestyles and all of that. I put it this way. Look at this next little statement here. Acceptance is not approval. Acceptance is not approval. When my brother passed away, my dad and mom told me, I was doing the service, we were up there getting ready, and some of my sister-in-law's friends were coming. And they go, just so you understand, some of her friends are gay. She did, what was it, line dancing back then? Was that line dancing back then or something like that? I don't remember what it was. But they did this line dancing or something. And she was going to it without my brother And after he passed away, her friends came and they were gay. And my parents were pointing it out. I never knew who they were. You know, it's no big deal. But how do we feel? I mean, have we set certain sins up as the epitome of sin that we can't touch? But acceptance is not approval. I think this is a hard line in what we need to say. But I want to challenge the church, and I want to challenge us as a church. You know, will we reach out to a hurting and dying world that's messed up? God sent God sent Jonah to an evil city. Now, I don't know about you, but my opinion, I don't think Salida is an evil city. Anybody else on there with me? Now, Salida's messed up. We got our share of issues, all right? But I don't think we're an evil city. Now, if somebody said San Francisco, I might have a different opinion. But I like going to the city of San Francisco and eating, all right? I mean, you know, going over, jumping on BART, going into the city is a lot of fun, all right? Laura and I enjoy doing that. Yeah. So, but can we tell our neighbors and our friends? Do you got coworkers? Do you got fellow students? Do you got family members? Yeah. Has somebody hurt your feelings? You won't even talk to them? Is somebody, you know, they text something and it just Facebook something? I hear too many problems with that stuff. I do get on Facebook sometimes and I do text sometimes. But it can be the devil's workshop. But, you know, have you had you got unforgiveness? Envy? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest. You know, envy for me, you know, that can be a battle. We drive around and there's these nice homes and we're driving this little Toyota Corolla and here's all these Lexus and things flying by us. And it's like, why not me, God? I work hard. I deserve it. I really don't work that hard. I get to do what I like to do. Yeah. Anybody envy? Yeah. Lust? Yeah, that one we're not going to, we'll set our hand for that. We don't want anybody to know that one. Yeah. Greed? Anger? Yeah. Attitude issues? Critical? We need to face the fact we're like that and so is the world. But God, while we're still sinners, God loves us and he loves them. I found this great video I want you to watch. It's just a wonderful little video clip. It's a little long, but the message is superb. I found this on YouTube and I wanted to share this with you. Listen to the message of this young lady in this video. I thought that was a great video clip. Just, you know, it kind of summarized my message for me. What are we telling our world? Are we loving them? Look at this passage right here. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I think that's what the world has been hearing from the church. Just bang, bang, bang. All they hear is just slamming the gong, slamming the door, pushing out, closing off, just this sounding gong. This clanging cymbal over and over again. And I want to challenge us to have love. To love our neighbors and our friends. No matter what they've done, no matter who they've been, no matter where they go, no matter how they live, no matter what choices they make. To love our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our fellow students, our family members. And to reach out to them. And to tell them that we care and that we love. I think that's what the world needs to hear now. Instead of trying to change them, instead of saying, behave, and then believe, and then you can belong, let's say, join me in my walk with Christ and discover God's love like I've discovered God's love. This is why for me as your pastor, and I look at our church, and where's everybody at, and where's everybody going, and my passion is to get people into small groups and into God's Word every week, not just on Sunday morning, but I want you studying God's Word in some small group every week. They're all kind of reinitiating. The new year starts. Holidays is always hard. And getting back in, and our group's getting ready. Our group has challenged itself. What's interesting is the group did this. Not me. I was just one of them in the group. Our challenge in our home group is that we're going to finish our last lesson on our parable study. And then next week, we're going to start the study of reading the Bible through in a year. We're just going to start reading in Genesis, and we're just going to start reading, and we're going to kind of look at what God says, kind of taking some of the chapter stuff out of our 40-day word study, and pulling some of that out and just kind of going through God's word. We have no book but the Bible. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun to see how well we do in that challenge to read the Bible through in a year. But I want to challenge us there. I want to challenge us as a church and to say that we love them, to serve them. This is one of the things you're going to hear more talk about from me as your pastor, that if we want them to know that we love them, are we serving them? Are we caring for them? You know, I look and I'm thinking about, you know, we go to the gospel mission, and many of you, if you're not going to the gospel mission, you're really missing a blessing. Those of us who go, I have a good time when I go there. And I enjoy being at the gospel mission and serving and being a part and being a part of that. And I appreciate what you guys did when we gave out our 3 food baskets at Thanksgiving. You don't know how much it meant to people. I'm going to get a little video from the one that gave them out. I was going to try to get Laura to see if the girl that gave them out, we arranged for the one to give them out. So we know who got them, but we wanted them to have their privacy. But just to tell us how the people felt about it. Because you guys were part of that serving there and part of that. And I think we need to step into our community. And, you know, we did Love Salida. Many of us participated in Love Salida. And, you know, it's not about our building. Our church is going to finish. But if that's all we're looking for, we're going to be sadly sorrowed by that. Do we recognize that we're messed up and our world is messed up? And when we go into the world, will we invite? Will we encourage? Who's the last person you invited to be here? Here's my challenge to you this morning. I'm going to challenge you with what God did to Jonah, okay? This is the Jonah challenge, all right? I want you to take the person you don't want to go to. Not the one that's easy to go to. Not that family, not that friend. I want you to go to the one that you don't want to go to. Maybe it's Texas. I don't know. Have fun, Laura. But I want you to take the one you don't want to go to and you pray for that individual. Don't you understand? I didn't ask you to invite them right now. I'm not saying go, well, you leave this place, you go pick your phone up, and you call that person. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm saying right now, you just take that step to say, you know what? I'm aggravated with this person. This person hurt me, or this person made me mad, or this person did this to me, or whatever it is. And I want you to pray for that person. That's what Jonah had to do. Jonah had to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to go. Those people. Those evil people. I want to challenge you to love that person you find the hardest to love by praying for them. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Just pray for them, whoever it is. Because at the bottom of your page, I put it this way. For me, for you, for all of us, grace. God wants grace for that person, whoever it is. You don't have to tell me. I'm not going to ask you. I just want you to pray for someone. Then I'm going to encourage you to invite your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers to be a part. But I'm going to ask you, are you a clanging cymbal, a gong that's just out there, just beating people in the head with a big old black Bible or some words? Or do you have a love for a lost and dying world? God loved us while we were still sinners. And you know what's interesting to me? God still loves me, and I'm still a sinner. I don't want to be. Yeah. Do I get aggravated with the way I behave sometimes? Anybody ever get aggravated with the way you behave sometimes? Anybody, you look back and why was I doing? You get mad at yourself? Phil, how stupid of me. We do. We want to be like God. But we're messed up in a messed up world. And the church is going to be messy. And you know what? That's okay. Because God loves a messy world. He loves you and I. Do we love? Do we have the same love that God has? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you above all that you didn't wait for me to clean my life up, for me to change my heart, that while I still pursued my ways, you begin a process in me. And I thank you that it's not done. I pray for all of us here this morning, Lord, who are walking through life and the battles and the frustrations, the struggles of life, that you encourage us and that you strengthen us. Lord, give us a love for a lost and dying world, the love that you have. Lord, let the grace that you've bestowed upon us be a grace that we share through that love. Encourage and strengthen us to be your people in a messed up world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our